It's time for our weekly catch-up with ACT Party Deputy Leader Brooke Van Velden.
The government has set new literacy and numeracy standards that students will need to take alongside NCEA. However, almost two-thirds of students failed the writing standard assessment in the latest NCEA literacy and numeracy pilot. For our weekly catch-up with the ACT Party News and Editorial, Jessica Hopkins, News and Editorial Director Jessica Hopkins, speaks to David Seymour about their response to the results of the pilot.
What concerns does the ACT Party have with these changes to NCEA?
Well, first of all, we're not concerned about the changes. In fact, this is one of those rare times where I think the Labor government is actually doing the right thing. We've had an enormous misadventure with NCEA over the past couple of decades. The return to something more like a standard test where we say these are the basic things that every kid in New Zealand, doesn't matter if they're in town or country, rich or poor, Māori or Pākehā, boy or girl, every kid should get to actually have these basic skills so they have a chance in the 21st century. You know, this is an old left social justice maxim that, you know, if you're born into a household that may not have the facilities or the knowledge or the resources, there should be places in your community where you can go to get that knowledge so you have a good shot at life. And it becomes more and more important as the world becomes more technologically sophisticated to have good numeracy and literacy. So first of all, no concerns about what they're doing, but we're enormously concerned about the results of starting to put these tests in place. As soon as we begin to give some hard measurement of what kids actually know and can do, we discover what has been very evident and has been banging on about for a long time. If you look at PIRLS, if you look at TIMSS, if you look at PISA, all of these international tests that students from countries around the world do to compare themselves with each other have been showing New Zealand students no less and can do less than their older brothers and sisters. And that's been happening now for 20 years. So we have a real problem here, but starting to measure the problem is not in itself a bad thing at all.
The Post-Primary Teachers Association have said that more time is needed for students and teachers to adapt to these new standards before the full rollout begins. Does the ACT Party agree with this, that we should allow teachers more time to prepare?
Yeah, and our education spokesperson, Chris Bailey, has said that he agrees with them on that. And I have no doubt that, you know, there could be problems with the execution, the implementation, the details, the rollout, all of that. But I want to draw this back to what are the big questions for New Zealand's future. Are we transferring enough knowledge to the next generation for New Zealand to maintain first world living standards, where people do the kind of work that is highly productive using the best technology and resources to give the kind of living standards that New Zealanders aspire to? Now, I think the answer to that question is probably no. We're not transferring a lot of knowledge, or enough knowledge, especially to disadvantaged kids. And that's why we need to start measuring the outcomes. But more importantly, we need to start talking about how we ensure that kids, no matter whether they are advantaged or disadvantaged, have places in their community they can go and get valuable knowledge. Because right now, for a variety of reasons, and it is, you know, it's not a simple thing, but a lot of kids aren't getting that. And we saw it in the benchmarking test of this new standard. Only 2% of decile one kids passed the test. Now, that's shocking. I mean, we're basically saying in New Zealand, if you're born poor, forget your future. We can't afford to start doing that or to keep doing that. This test is just the start of a warning that we need real change.
Right, and yes, like you just said, real change is needed in our education system. So what would this look like under ACT?
Well, we would first of all accept that the system we have has failed. The Ministry of Education does not have the answers. It does not know how it does not know how to get people engaged in education in each community. What ACT did, and I'm immensely proud of it, in charter schools, we created one of the most progressive social policies in a generation. We said the ministry doesn't know, but often iwi-based organisations know. Often private training organisations know. It was one case, a civil engineering firm that had a long history of taking on and mentoring students, that they knew what it took to get kids to actually come to school. I believe that if we give the communities up and down New Zealand, the wider civil society, the opportunity to participate in re-engaging kids in education, then we're going to do a lot better than we are now, running a one-size-fits-all model that is beholden to a Ministry of Education that is not only out of ideas, but often imposes unworkable ideas. And you get that when you talk to teachers and principals. Their morale is so low because they are sick and tired of being dictated to, having to carry out the latest fad, and that always comes with extra paperwork from the Ministry of Education.
Last year, ACT proposed a Teaching Excellence Reward Fund. So how would rewarding high-performing teachers with essentially bonuses address these low literacy and numeracy rates we're seeing?
Well, I think, first of all, we have a big problem that teachers are underpaid. So if I look at my lifetime, when I was born, the average teacher, the teacher at the top of the scale was paid 80% more than the average wage. Fast forward almost 40 years, hate to admit, the teacher at the top of the scale is paid about 40% more than the average. So compared with the average, teachers in New Zealand have taken a 40% pay cut over the last 40 years. So we need to start paying them more. Question is, do we pay every teacher the same, or do we recognise that some teachers have greater opportunities to get paid more elsewhere, and so we need to think about how we manage that? And then we need to look at the fact that some teachers are just producing more in a variety of ways. We need to get more people and higher quality people to come into the teaching profession and stay. And that means recognising the reality that it's much harder to get physics teachers, for example, who can really unlock the magic of Newtonian mechanics for a classroom of sweaty year 10s on a February afternoon than it is to do some other roles. So Teaching Excellence Reward Fund would give principals $5,000 per teacher, but the principal and the team at each school are able to devise a scheme where we say, look, our school's priorities are, you know, people that coach after school, people that are mentoring other teachers, people that are in hard-to-staff STEM subjects, people that are shown to lift their students' test scores above where they were at the start of the year. So, you know, all of those sorts of things that you might use as guidance for remunerating your staff, that's a way of getting additional funding into education, but making sure we don't just give every teacher the best and the worst in New Zealand the same pay rise. It's got to be targeted to raise the quality and productivity of teaching.
I mean, some, David, would say that it would be unfair to pay teachers differently, especially if you're talking about test scores. So how would you ensure that across the board principals would award this fairly?
I really question the good faith of people who raise that question, because what they're saying is we assume that the scheme will be designed as stupidly as possible. Now, when I deal with someone's proposal, I don't normally assume that they're going to do something as stupid as paying people extra for having kids that did well at the start of the year. So, I think it's pretty obvious that no one would design the scheme that way. And then the challenge goes back to people that raise that. Are you really here in good faith for better education policy? Or are you just opposed to having education policy that rewards people that perform well in the workplace? And I think people can make up their own mind on that.
Would ACT then support this kind of system for other professions, like MPs, for example?
Well, we do have that system for MPs. You know, at the moment, if you're not very good, you lose your job. If you are good, then you get paid more over time. You get appointed to extra positions, and you also have the opportunity to become a minister and so on. So, you know, we do actually have that. We do actually have a remuneration scheme like that. People that are good become whips and so on. So, no, I mean, you know, again, I think rather than trying to, you know, ask these kind of snarky questions, you need to get behind the idea that we're not paying teachers enough, and to pay them more, we need to pay the ones that are providing the most. And the people to decide that are actually the people who know the school, i.e. the principals.
Lastly, I did just want to bring up, some people may notice that the acronym you've used, TERF, has another more commonly known association, that being Trans Exclusionary Radical Feminists. Is this a concern to ACT?
Not really. I think people probably need to get a bit of a sense of humour.
Would you say that that's like a funny thing, Trans Exclusionary Radical Feminists?
I think it makes a mockery of people who throw around these terms and get more concerned about identity than solving real problems. You know, there'll be a bunch of people who will put most of their emphasis and effort into that acronym. There'll be other people that want to say, yeah, ha-ha, let's debate the real policy. I'm in the latter camp. Other people can figure out where they are.
That was News and Editorial Director Jess Hopkins' regular catch-up with the ACT Party.
That was Deputy Leader Brooke Van Velden from the ACT Party.